Welcome to Rise Up Reno Prevention Network Show. This show is brought to us by StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. We welcome in Dave Sotelo. He is program coordinator for Rise Up Reno Prevention Network, and he is helping the youth of our community in USD 308 and beyond. And Dave, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, John?
Good. Appreciate your time. Always a pleasure to have you. And you're actually sitting in for Carla. She's not feeling well today.
Yeah, so I'm stepping in today. Hopefully I could fill those shoes that Carla brings to the show.
You'll do just fine. We'll always have a great time when you're here. If you would, tell us, first of all, a little bit about Rise Up Reno Prevention Network, where you're located, the Facebook page, phone numbers, your websites, all that. And of course, you used to be Communities That Care.
Right. So Rise Up Reno, John, is an organization here in Hutchinson that works in our community to bring substance abuse prevention initiatives to the community. And I think one of the easiest ways for me to talk about it is the community looks at data, looks at the issues that are at hand here in our community, and then together we make decisions to bring programs to the community to address those issues. So it's really data-driven, and we work to bring those initiatives mainly with youth. So we have several programs here in the community working with leadership groups in the high school and in the middle schools, as well as mentoring programs and reading programs for our grade schools. We work directly with USD 308, but we have other initiatives that target Reno County.
So tell us specifically what your role is working directly with the youth. What do you do?
Yeah, so I get the best part of the job, I like to think. I work with the youth. And so really what it is just, I just said, the community looks at data and makes decisions and brings initiatives, drug prevention initiatives. Well, I sit with the kids and they look at data. They look at what their peers are going through, what their peers are talking about, and then they make those decisions about what they can do to help each other and to bring a positive message, a drug-free message to the community.
Well, I'm not going to tell how old you are, but you're not that far removed from high school. Now, at your age, you are far removed, but you're really not, you know, like 15 years older than the kids you're working with. You're much younger than that.
Yeah, so I was a member of Rise Up when it was still Communities That Care. Just 5 years ago. And so that maybe will give you a guess of how old I am. And it's nice that there is a close in age relationship with the kids where I don't have to try to be cool to ever think I'm cool. And I like to think so.
We have another opinion of that coming up here pretty quick there, Dave. Well, matter of fact, let's just introduce Dylan Graves. He is a sixth grade teacher at Morgan Elementary. And if I'm not mistaken, Dave, he's also a former peer of yours who was involved in, at that time, Communities That Care.
Yeah, so I remember, I think last time I was in the show, you asked me, why did you get involved with Rise Up Reno? And I remember in the eighth grade, when I told you I didn't know how to speak English, I had just arrived to the country, and I knew that there were some kids in my class that were outstanding classmates, just great people, great leaders, and they were people that I wanted to be like. And that's why I got involved, because I remember Dylan and some other of his friends were involved in these programs, and I wanted to be like them. They were good role models for the rest of us, and I thought, you know, I need to hang out around with those kids. So I'm really excited that Dylan is back in Hutchinson and here today to talk a little bit about why he was involved, and it had a huge effect on me and I'm sure other students.
Well, Dylan, welcome in. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks for your kind words, David.
Yeah. So I did the math. It took me all that time. You're about 23 years old, right? 23, 24?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And so, Dylan, I'm presuming you went off since you're a teacher. You probably, where did you go to Emporia State or K-State?
I actually went to Kansas State. Yes, sir.
So you have your teaching certificate and you've been teaching for how long?
This is my first year.
Well, good. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I'll ask you about your teaching experience later. But again, you're listening to the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network radio show. So, Dylan, I want you to reminisce a little bit about what you thought of Dave when he came in. And if you guys met actually when he first came to school and said he didn't speak English, but he saw something in you and some of your friends. What do you remember about Dave?
Sure. Well, I remember I don't actually remember David in eighth grade, but I remember freshman year David being there and just a guy with a lot of energy and wanted to do the right thing. You know, a guy that clearly wanted to do the right thing. And I think everybody in our, at that time it was called Communities That Care, now called Rise Up. But at that time, I think everybody saw David as somebody, hey, this guy would be really awesome to have in the group. And like I said, somebody with a lot of energy and someone who just wanted to do the right thing and be involved.
So the premise, of course, of Rise Up Reno Prevention Network is to, you know, prevent kids from starting things that are bad, specifically weed, any kind of drugs, of course, alcohol, you know, just first of all, it's illegal, especially the alcohol part. I mean, obviously, when you're an adult at 21, you can drink and smoke to, I guess, your pleasure, but and it's not for school-age children. So what do you remember from those days? What led you to that group, Dylan? And I want to know if people made fun of you for being, you know, a goody-goody guy and you didn't do anything bad. And I'm not saying you didn't make mistakes because we're all human, but kind of what was that whole setting like?
Sure. What kind of drew me to, at that time, like I said, Communities That Care is what it was called, was when I was in the sixth grade, which I actually attended sixth grade at Morgan where I teach now, and they would come and do sixth grade presentations. And that kind of drew me into Communities That Care. And the presentation was simply about staying drug-free, staying alcohol-free. It's kind of sad that we live in a world where we have to present that to sixth graders, but unfortunately that's the case. And that drew me in. And then getting involved with the group, I saw the good message they were pushing was to stay substance, you know, don't abuse substances. And I think that was a great message. That's what drew me in.
Did you have somebody that was a friend of yours that you decided to buddy up with to join, or did you just know you were going to join just right off the bat?
There were a couple of us from Morgan that kind of all, we saw the presentations and they looked like a good time. I think maybe some of us were thinking, well, it's a day out of school as well if we in the future. But we decided, you know, that looks like a pretty cool group to get involved with. And so that's what, there were a group of us that went in.
Yeah. So it's not the teachers presenting this. It was probably, high school students that came and were talking to you kids about that. Dave has talked about how the impact of hearing it from, you know, somebody who's in a higher grade, talking to the young students like you were, anybody in particular from, you know, that group up there, or was it just the fact that, oh gosh, those kids are in high school?
That's it, I think, is just the fact that those kids were older than us coming in, and a group of kids that we probably looked up to. And then, of course, a lot of us were involved in football. And at that time, it's still, football is a big thing here in Hutch, but at that time it was a huge deal. And so seeing those older kids that, oh, these guys are football players up at the high school and whatnot, and seeing that, I think that even kind of drew us in a little bit further. And so that was why. And I think that message still holds true today, seeing, you know, being a teacher now and seeing my sixth graders look up when, say, the junior leaders from Hutch High come in, when they see those high schoolers in, you know, they go, oh, that's so-and-so. He plays on the basketball team or the football team or whatnot. So,
Dave, your thoughts here?
Yeah, I think, you know, I said it before, there's a power to, John, you're welcome to come to the grade schools and tell the kids not to drugs. But I don't know that message is going to, who is this guy? Why is he talking to us, right? That's the first reaction. Even sometimes teachers, I think teachers have a lot of authority and credibility with the kids. But when they get a reinforcement message from someone that they see at school, it's just the same thing that I think big brands pass on to us as customers, right? We're going to buy the product, but why are we going to buy the product? Because someone like LeBron James is using that product.
Well, how many boxes has Patrick Mahomes sold of his cereal?
Yeah,
because his picture's on the box. I have a box of it. I've not even tried it, and I have no intent of trying it.
Because there was I talked to a lot of folks here in the community about the power of selling something or spreading a message that is about hope, is about life gets better, it's about happiness, all these positive things that we can offer to kids, that the alcohol industry, the tobacco industry is also offering to kids. If you look at the ads for alcohol, if you look at the ads for Juul that specifically targeted young kids, what were they selling? A good time, you're going to look a lot better, you're going to hang out with really attractive woman, really attractive man. And so we got to change that message and bring that message to the kids and say, you know what, it's not true. And we can bring another message of hope, of unity, of excitement, of a good time when we bring someone like Dylan, who's a football player at Hutch High, to talk to some of our sixth graders at Morgan Elementary.
Well, you talk about marketing. Of course, all the flavored, is it vapes that they took off the market? I think everything's gone except just the whatever standard flavor because of the appeal to kids. I mean, who wants to, you know, taste a tobacco flavored one when you can have cherry or mint or whatever it is? But those all, I think President Trump actually just signed an executive action and said, look, that's hurting our kids. We're done with it.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, when you talk about the standard flavored, so there's a loophole that the industry has found, and so we're still selling those flavored flavored pods to kids, even though it was on that executive order. So it's making it a little more difficult, which is what we want. The higher, the more less likely that kids are going to use a substance is going to happen when we make it more difficult for them to use it, right? And so that's exactly what President Trump's law was intended to do, or executive order was intended to do. So
you're listening to the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network show. It's brought to you by StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. We're visiting with Dave Sotelo. He's a program coordinator for the youth program, and Dylan Graves, who is a sixth grade teacher from Morgan Elementary, who actually went to Morgan, was a part of Communities That Care, now Rise Up Reno. So Dylan, just give us some insight as to what you're seeing in the sixth grade class as far as, well, maybe catching kids vaping or catching, I mean, I've not really heard of anybody bringing a, you know, can of beer or alcohol to school. Not saying it doesn't happen, but pot, I mean, I'm with you, sixth grade, really, we're having to talk about this stuff, but you're living it every day. What are you seeing out there?
Right. Unfortunately, that is the reality, that it's a conversation, and it's not a conversation that is just happening in Hutch. You know, unfortunately, it's happening everywhere. It's no reflection on the Hutch schools or anything like that. It just has to happen everywhere. So, like you said, you know, we don't have much of a problem with alcohol or anything like that as sixth grader, but still we have those conversations to make sure that they stay substance abuse free. You know, we don't want them ruining either their future or damaging themselves, you know, for their future. And so, like David said, though, I can stand up there and preach about it, and they're going to say, oh, there's Mr. Graves again going on one of his rants or whatever. But having the kids from the high school, kids from the eighth grade, whatever, come in, that message is a lot more powerful coming from those guys. So, yeah.
Have you seen anything that has just made, I know this is your first year, but anything yet that you're just like, I cannot believe I'm looking at this happening in sixth grade?
You know,
obviously don't name names,
right?
And you would not anyway, but
right. You know, fortunately I haven't seen anything too out of the ordinary yet, which I'm happy about. And I think that's a testament to the work that Rise Up Reno County is doing, and a testament to USD 308 that we are, you know, trying to make sure that those things aren't happening to our students, and trying to make sure that they have the best chance to pursue the future they choose, whether that be, you know, into a four-year university or technical school or whatever it may be, you know, just pursuing the future that they choose. That's what we're trying to do.
Now, I do want to ask you about the involvement of parents of these kids. Now, again, you teach at Morgan, so that's your experience. But so many of these problems, at least in my mind, and look, I'm not a professional. I'm a layperson. I'm just probably like most people listening out there. The breakdown of the family, I think, has caused a lot of our problems. It's certainly not responsible for all of them. But do you see a good participation level in the parents where you're teaching? I'm sure there might lack on a few of them, but this all starts at home. I mean, the behaviors are seen at home. The kids emulate the parents. That's who they look up to. That's who they live with. What's your impression?
Sure. You know, we just finished up parent-teacher conferences this week. And so we, interesting enough, in the fall, I had 100% attendance from my parents to a parent-teacher conference, which is great. This winter here, of course, a couple were out because they were sick. You know, that bug is going around all of our buildings and at home and whatnot. And so I had a couple that weren't able to make it, but it was because they were sick. Other than that, everyone was there and a lot of parent involvement, which is good. The parents care, at least at my building, and I think it's the same around the district. The parents care about their kids. They want to see them do well. They want to see them working hard in school and making sure that they're doing the right thing.
So, Dave, you work with all these kids. Does the socioeconomic status or situation of some of these households make a big difference? Would we see Morgan being on the north end of town? Do you see a difference in the south end?
So I don't get to see those numbers directly from building to building. What I do know is, as Dylan talks about parent involvement, you know, you talk about it starts at home, right? And absolutely, these kids that see their parents being involved and that care about their education to go to parent-teacher conferences, that make it to their games, that just are making that connection with their children. That alone is a huge protective factor for kids to, in the future, prevent them from using. Reading a book to them at night, huge protective factor for them to not abuse later in their future. And of course, those numbers change as you look at the socioeconomic background of each student, and the ability for a parent to do those things changes as you look at the socioeconomic background of the students. So that's why Rise Up Reno and other folks in the community are bringing more awareness to this so that parents can take a look at this and take action with their kids from a young age.
Does that make sense?
I would totally agree. Yeah. The like you said, the reading a book, you know, if there's any parents listening to this that have young kids or even older kids, you know, have time to read. I mean, that is an incredible, very powerful thing. If your student is at home reading 20 minutes a day, it's going to help them across every single subject. It doesn't just help them in reading. It'll help them in math, science, history, whatever. Just that power of reading and being able to share as a family, if you can sit down and talk about a book that you have read.
And, go ahead. And I think about this as, you know, I'm a plant aficionado, so I love growing plants at home, house plants. And I think about, what am I going to do for this plant to grow and to be a beautiful plant so it looks good in my home, right? And I have to create an environment for that plant to be successful in my home. So I have to look at what side the light of the sun is coming in from my window, how much water I'm giving it, make sure I don't give it too much water. I have to make sure that I fertilize it once a year, that there's enough humidity at home so that it survives. So I create this protective factor.
So you're a nurturer. You're nurturing these plants.
By nature, yes. I'm nurturing these plants. And I think creating that environment, that's what protective factors are. And it's just creating an environment for that child to be successful in the future so that, you know, it produces its best self. And so reading at home, getting involved with the teachers, all of those things are great tools for parents to use.
Well, and we should add in, of course, and Dylan, you're, you know, teaching currently, a good night's sleep, making sure that they're properly fed, which the school district does a really good job at that.
Absolutely.
And then of course, and look, I don't care if you're from a single parent home and there are not two parents in them. There's lots of loving one parent households out there. Absolutely. All of those things combined, like David is referring on his growing of plants, those are all factors in the success of these students today. And you get to see, you know, if a kid's hungry at school.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you're right. Our school district, USD 308, does a great job of providing for those students who, you know, in that case of food, you know, who, if they don't have enough at home or whatnot, we can get that taken care of. But you're totally right. Getting that good night's rest, making sure that they know that when I say they, meaning your student, they know that when they come home, they've got somebody loving there who's going to care about their education, whether it be a mom or a dad or a grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, whatever, knowing that whoever they're coming home to loves them, cares about them, wants to make sure that they're succeeding at their highest level.
Again, you're listening to the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network radio show. And Dave Sotelo, of course, with the Rise Up Reno, and Dylan Graves, both these young men are products of this Rise Up Reno Prevention Network, again, formerly Communities That Care. I want the two of you to answer this, if you would, since you both were in this group in high school not that long ago. So talk about how your kids, as kids, you chose your friends. Talk about conflicts and how you'd solve them. And then just kind of that whole atmosphere of peer pressure, you know, hey, come on, let's go to the river. There's a river party next weekend. You guys are both welcome to come. There's a keg there. We got some other stuff. You need to be there.
All right.
Talk about that stuff. Dave, go ahead. You first.
So I think the way I think about this now as an adult is think about what some of the prevention initiatives we've had in the past, like this is your brain on drugs or don't do drugs, just simply don't do drugs. Those were some great messages, but they didn't have a lot of effect on our children. And so now what you're talking about, John, is what skills did we have as kids to be able to say no? It was those conversations with our parents that they made sure that we had clear rules at home of, I want to know when you're going to get home. Actually, you're going to get home at a certain time. I want to know where you are, who you're hanging out with. So that was important for me. And a lot of times it was difficult because, you know, a lot of my friends who I loved and I cared about, you know, were making these decisions, not because they wanted to ruin their lives or they just, I don't know why they were making those decisions, but making that decision and being true to myself was at times difficult. And I think a lot of times I talk to friends now and they say, you know, it's admirable that you stand for your values, And I think a lot of kids now today have a hard time with that still. And so Rise Up Reno provides a lot of programs to make sure that we teach those skills to kids. And I think one of the things that I struggled with, and I think a lot of kids struggle with more today, was dealing with just some of the stress that's there from being involved in high school and sports and getting a job, having a social life. All of that is like creating a lot of difficulty for our children. And so being involved in a sport and getting out there and running miles and miles and miles for cross country was incredibly good for my health and for my stress management. Having peers who cared about their education, cared about their sports, was incredibly helpful for my success in the future.
Dylan, what do you think? What's your perspective?
Sure. On the friendship issue, you know, I how did I find friends and whatnot? How did I make my friends? I was involved in athletics from a very young age, and that, especially football, was, those were the guys I hung out with. Those were the guys I went to K-State with. You know, we all kind of traveled as a big group. Those are the guys I still hang out with today. And it's guys that I met through football or through any sport. You know, it doesn't have to just be football. For me, it was football. But those are the guys that I'm, you know, how I became friends with them. And I think it's also those guys as to why I was able to, you know, say resist peer pressure at a certain issue, you know, at a party or whatnot, or like you said, a river party or whatever. You know, I'm not saying I didn't go to those things, but, you know, I wasn't there, you know, if there was alcohol present, I wasn't, you know, partaking in that, just because, A, I had a football coach that I knew that he would not approve of me doing something like that. I had two parents at home that would not approve. I had a church community that would not approve. I had, you know, teachers that I wanted to make sure that they wouldn't approve of that. And also my friends, you know, I felt that all of us on, especially on the football team at that time, we felt that we were working for a common goal, which was to win a state championship for us. And we felt that if we were using drugs or if we were drinking alcohol or whatever, we felt that doing that would hamper our ability to go win a state championship. So that's what kept us from doing it. And like I said, my parents as well, you know, I never wanted to disappoint them in doing something like that.
Is it safe to say that both of you, I think you're both from the same graduating year, know some of those kids that did party, that did do things they shouldn't do, and maybe you've caught up with them here in the last year, or at least heard from them or heard about them. Maybe they continued on that path of smoking and drinking and doing drugs or whatever they were doing, and maybe they aren't doing so good today. You guys know any of those kids?
Well, I think we have to remember that, you know, a lot of it right now when kids are using, especially in high school, it's a lot about exploration. That's one of the things. And risk taking. Kids at that age want to take some risks to feel the thrill of doing something new. And so that's what it was a lot of times. And so spreading that message of, there is something better that you can do was actually very important. I don't know that they were destined to do bad in their lives. It's just, they chose a different path and they're doing just fine today, but because they had important relationships in their family, I think.
Well, Dylan, thanks for joining us today. A real quick thought.
I agree with Dave. Well said.
Yeah. And Dave, why don't you give us contact information one more time, website, phone number for a Facebook page for Rise Up Reno Prevention Network.
Okay. You're testing me here, John, because I don't remember the phone number, but Rise Up Reno Prevention Network on Facebook. You can find us there and find our phone number, our address, and our website is riseupreno.org. And that's how you can find all of our information and how to get a hold of us.
Thanks to both of you gentlemen for your time today. We appreciate all the good thoughts and words you're putting out to our listeners.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Thank you.
Yep, you bet. And we thank you out there for listening to Rise Up Reno Prevention Network, brought to you by StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. We'll be back this time next week.